With a dozen studio albums under her belt, singer-songwriter Melissa Etheridge will rock the Deer Valley Amphitheater July 27th. She joins me now on the phone. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
So you've sold out the reserve seating for this show. There are still tickets left on the lawn for what is being called the ME Live Tour. My understanding that it's based on your newest album from last year, Memphis Rock and Soul. And it's a tribute to Stax Records artists, like I'm guessing Otis Redding, Mavis Staples. How so is it a tribute to them?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. No, this was my experience last year. I went down to Memphis and really just got into the community, got into the history of the music down there, recorded with these artists that had been playing since the 60s, sang on Al Green's microphone, and recorded in the same studio, Royal Studios, that his, you know, that so much of that great music was recorded in, and put my, I didn't want to just do the songs again. I wanted to get in and rework the songs and make them, you know, mean something today, and singing them, and I've incorporated it into my show. I'm still doing, you know, we're gonna rock and do our favorite songs and couple deep album songs, but I love sprinkling a bit of the Memphis songs in there, because it just shows where my influences and the, you know, my history of rock and roll comes from, and it's right there in Memphis. It's right there in Stax Records.
Nice. So it's their songs done your way, and in a sense they're hits in and of themselves.
Yeah. So it's you know, songs that you know, Born Under Bad Sign, Hold On, I'm Coming. You know, like I said, Staple Singers, Respect Yourself. But, you know, I did go in and rework a couple of the lyrics. Mavis Staples gave me the thumbs up and said, you know, excellent, and you know, supported it. And it's just, you know, just I think today we need some thoughtful music to be helping us get through these days.
Awesome. Well, I recall you visited Park City back in 2011, so we're glad to have you back. Park City, just one of how many stops along this tour? I was looking at the schedule. It looks pretty grueling.
Oh, it's a good tour. It's really, I'm so fortunate to be able to be still out there and presenting new music, and then music that people love and know and love over the years. And I've become a good family entertainment also, which you know, I think is wonderful. And it's just, you know, I love it. This is what I do in the summer, and I'm healthy and happy and loving it.
Yeah. Well, as we saw recently with Adele taking a break from touring to heal damaged vocal cords, how do you take care of yourself with, a schedule that's underway and goes through mid-September?
That is the number one priority. It's all about my health. And I discovered when I went through breast cancer, that was my big health scare. And that's when I realized, wow, I really have to make this a priority. So my voice is like a muscle, and I feel like I'm an athlete. And the things I have to do is I have to, you know, they're very un-rock and roll, but it's what one, if one wants to, you know, compete at this level, if one wants to, you know, get out there, 100 shows, or how many shows I've had this year, I don't even know. You have to eat, look at what you eat, eat very healthy, close to the ground. You have to watch out what time I eat, no later than 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And then sleep is incredibly important. And then, you know, just keeping myself strong, yoga, hiking, you know, it's just about health in general.
Well, and that's interesting because, of course, you are known for your music and your voice, and you've used that celebrity for a number of social causes. So tell me about your newest one. It's called the Pink Ribbon Garden Project.
Oh, I love this so much. There was a gal who ran an organization down in Florida called Libby's Legacy, and we connected on my cruise. I had a cruise last year and another one in March, if anyone's interested. I spoke with her about how much I believe in health, and how much I see a food injustice. I mean, we tell these, you know, people, lower income people, you know, you've got breast cancer, and we can take it out, but now you've got to eat right. Well, eating right costs, you know, three times more than eating wrong or eating the you know, processed foods that make us sick. So I wanted to help with that. And so we put together a project where we worked with the city of Orlando, the Orlando Health Center, Lowe's Hardware donated a bunch of stuff. And we got all these people to come together, and the city of Orlando gave us a piece of this park in a lower income neighborhood where we put up a garden and taught these women, breast cancer survivors, how to garden, and now they get their own food from the garden. And it's just something that we want to take to other cities. Integrative medicine is starting to become something that people, it has to be with the way our healthcare, you know, is looking nowadays. We have to take our own health into our hands, and integrative medicine and nutrition is a big part of that.
Yeah. So how has your personal scare with cancer changed things for you?
Oh, well, 12 years cancer free, and it just refocused my life. It really showed me the, you know, what is important. My health is important. If I want to be here and for my children and to be able to interact with them like I enjoy and to be able to do the work that I love, it's about health, and that health is about the whole body, and it's about the wellness of my mind and spirit, you know, stress, and then physically what I can do with nutrition and exercise, and just, you know, a good state of mind every day. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I also read that you were in Cuba recently. Tell me about that.
Guess what? I was supposed to be in Cuba, and we had it all arranged, and we had sold tickets, and people were coming down. It was part of a big festival. There was three of us going down, Ben Folds Five, and Rufus Wainwright, and myself, and we had got the okay from the Cuban government. And then a few weeks before I was supposed to go, another faction of the Cuban government said, we need to look at this again. And they said the other two guys could go, but I couldn't go. And they never gave me a reason why I couldn't, but I did not go. So there.
What's your speculation
on
that? I
know it looks like, I mean, everything was out there like I was supposed to be in Cuba, but I did not go. I really don't know why.
Being a woman? Being gay?
It could be one of the things. I really don't know. I promise you, I don't know.
Well, again, we're looking for a great show. That's happening on July 27th. Tickets are available online at parkcityinstitute.org. Appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to seeing you.
Always a pleasure to be up there at Park City. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'll see you there.
It's 8:52. Joining me now in the studio with an update from Basin Recreation, I have District Director Brian Hanton, along with Open Space Manager Bob Radke. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start first with Bob, an update on the Toll Canyon Trail. What's going on there?
Yes. So when we Toll Canyon became a public open space and put under conservation easement, we started this whole process a couple years ago. And now we're to the point of implementation of some of the Toll Canyon Stewardship Management Plan, one of them being a trail connector from the road to Waz down into Toll Canyon. It will connect to the paved road that's down there. And so, you know, we're looking at this as a neighborhood connection. A lot of people that live in Timberline and Lower Summit Park and Pine Brook can now use the trails to ride up into the Summit Park trail system, Road to Waz, Short Stack, and that, instead of getting in their car, driving up through Summit Park, parking at the trailhead. So we just ended about a 3-month public input process, and we have decided to move forward with the project this summer. So we're looking at getting our permits in place and getting a contractor on board, and we'll see if we can start this fall.
Okay, so it's a biking trail.
It's a multi-use for mountain biking, hiking. Yep.
And then for those who don't live in the area, they'll still be able to drive and park up at Summit Park?
At Summit Park, and it'll be probably more function as an out and back, you know, just a little bit added thing. You know, in the grand scheme of, you know, the big larger plans, the Discovery Project has been approved. They're working on their final approvals. I think they're ready to kind of start moving dirt this summer at some point. And so with that project, we will acquire 1 acre for a trailhead, and then that trailhead will be connected to this trail, And so I think that will allow people that don't live in the neighborhood a place to park and use the trails, get to Summit Park trails. I think it's hopefully a year from now we see ground being broken for the trailhead, best case scenario, but it's coming soon. So,
all right, you expect to have it done though by then?
Well, it just depends on how fast Discovery Project goes. It's a little bit out of our hands. So. Oh, you mean the trail?
Yeah.
We need to find a contractor that's not busy right now. So everybody's really busy, but we'll see. We're going to try.
All right. Last week's board meeting, Brian, there was a request to approve the contract award for the Olympic Parkway Tunnel. Where's this?
I'll let Bob talk about this. This is
right. So, it's a little pedestrian underpass that goes under Olympic Parkway between the Run Amok Trailhead and what we call the RTS Trailhead. What we find is Run Amok's very popular. The parking lot fills up, 16 cars, people park on the street, and the trailhead right across the street is a car parked there, or two cars. So we're going to connect that underutilized trailhead to the Run Amok trails under the roadway directly with a trail. And we feel that people would rather park in a parking lot if they didn't have to walk, across a busy street and down the road and everything. It's just a little more convenient for them. So we feel it's a safer, more convenient place for people to park. And if we connect it, then it will, so we feel it's going to be pretty good. And we're just going to do a real simple, much like I saw what they used at the end of the Porcupine Rim trail. It's a metal pipe under the road, very simple, inexpensive structure, and just for pedestrians, for walkers. So I think that's all we need.
Yeah, so are we keeping the bikes out of Run Amok?
Yes.
So that's working now?
Yes.
Okay. Where are we with the 224 tunnel? To go under 224?
Oh,
any updates there?
It's still it's being set up through the county's transportation plan. They're doing a master plan of all of the areas in the community. So that's part of that, with hopes that we'll come up with a solution soon. I know it's definitely for those neighborhoods. It's definitely a high priority. But as the county kind of re-looks at everything transportation wise, that's in the mix of that as well.
Okay. I know the bids came in way over than what was allocated for it. So.
Yeah, to go under it was definitely a lot more expensive. We looked at some overpasses or some walkovers. Wasn't the favorite choice of the council. So that's why they're putting it back into the master plan. And hopefully we'll come up with something soon.
Okay. We also have this open space art series. Tell me about that.
Jess Kirby, our open space coordinator, kind of spearheaded this. It's basically a hike, and then they go into these pretty cool areas and they paint. We have an artist that comes with them. They don't need supplies. They'll be provided unless they have their own, and they just go for about a mile and a half hike, and they just sit back and enjoy nature and draw it as best they can. We had our last one on July 1st. We had about 8 people. They went into the Rasmussen area behind Jeremy Ranch Elementary, and just our coordinator that went, she said, I'm not an artist, and it actually looks pretty good. So I think just once you get in that mindset and you just kind of clear your head, and it's a good activity for people.
Yeah, what's the cost of that?
The cost is, I think it's $10, $15, sorry, for the next one. On July 29th, we'll be going into the Toll Canyon open space, and then on August 19th, that one's $30, and it's going into the Summit Community Gardens, but there's more of a picnic aspect to that as well. So trying to make it a good event for people to come out and just enjoy the setting and use their artistic abilities.
Okay. And you've got the AEDs now installed in several parks. Which ones?
Yes. We put them in all of our parks. So Matt Canoop, Willow Creek Park, and Trailside Park. Each have two. Matt Canoop has one. Willow has two. Trailside has two. And then we put one at the Spring Creek Trailhead, one at the Woods, and we have one more out there too. So we put, there's 8 out there. So we were lucky enough to get a wrap grant through Summit County, and that paid for most of them. The fire district paid for one for us as well. And so through that coordination, we have 8 out there. So hopefully we never have to use them, but They're there just in case that happens.
Okay. That's good news. You haven't had to use them yet.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And then I guess they're well-marked signs.
They are. They're by every restroom. So we have them there in a big red box with a light on top if you open the door. So hopefully people don't mess with them and they're just there when it's needed.
Okay. Anything else, you guys?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thank you.
Brian Hatton and Rob Bradke with Basin Rec. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. Coming up now on 840 Good Morning. Well, Camp Safety returning to Park City next month. In the studio with details, I have Christina Sally. She's an investigator with the Summit County Attorney's Office, also founder of the camp. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so what is Camp Safety?
Camp Safety is a week-long program that I started to run the week before school starts. And it's for children entering kindergarten or first grade. And it's basically a camp that addresses all different safety topics in a very fun learning environment.
Okay, so it goes all week, but it's only a couple of hours each morning?
Correct.
So what are the hours?
9 a.m. to 11:30, and the last day goes a little bit longer because I have a pizza party for the kids.
Okay. So what sort of things will they do?
Well, that's a great question. So Camp Safety has an anti-bullying theme. So we talk about identifying how you feel, identifying how other people may feel. So it's a little bit empathy-based. What to do if you're bullied, what to do if you see somebody else bullied, and how to handle those kinds of things. And then each day sort of builds on different safety topics. So we have a bike safety day where the kids work together, they help each other. And then we have a fire safety day where the fire department comes and the kids get to learn about what to do if there's a fire. The fourth day is sort of the day that was my impetus for the camp, was teaching kids how to keep their body safe. Those are very difficult conversations for parents to have, especially in light of the research that shows that most children are abused by somebody they know. And so this just provides an opportunity for kids to have this learning environment, like I said, that's fun and it's engaging, where we could talk about those difficult topics. And then the last day is what to do if you are lost or separated from a trusted adult. So in our community, say you're skiing or you're camping or something in the Uintas, teaching kids what they need to do. So these concepts are challenging because first we're telling you, we tell kids don't talk to strangers, but then if they're lost or they're separated from a trusted adult, they may have to talk to a stranger. So those can be very conflicting concepts for them to learn. So I built in that day as well, and it's a great day. Sergeant Jeremy Foreman from the Sheriff's Office comes with his bloodhound and shows how the dog tracks, and I have fabulous teenage volunteers that help throughout the week, and so they'll go and hide and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So how many kids can you take?
I take 24. Sometimes I'll go up to 30, just depending on the group and who wants to register. So, but 30 is a lot. 30 is a lot of 5 and 6 year olds. So.
Yeah. And is it you and you?
Yeah, it's me. And I'm so fortunate. I have such great support from Sheriff Martinez and Chief Carpenter. So I have officers that come and volunteer. So they're there as well. Just taking on a variety of roles. So the kids get to learn how to trust police officers, see that they're human, not be fearful. And that they also they provide a lot of support and sort of classroom management. So it's great.
Yeah. So you mentioned part of it is biking. They'll need to bring bikes, or how does that work?
Yes. So the bicycle safety day, we set up a course where the kids learn about signs, safe riding skills. I have officers that are bicycle officers that come and they practice, and the motorcycle comes and goes on the course as well. Children who do not have bikes, there's no worry. I have some bikes that I purchased. So any child that doesn't have a bike, I have extra, as well as extra helmets and those kinds of things.
Okay. So the cost of the camp?
The cost for the week is $90. The kids get T-shirts, bike safety flags, water bottles. We have snacks every day. So that cost, I think, is pretty reasonable.
Yeah. And then it does help benefit then the Children's Justice Center?
Correct.
How does that Just any proceeds that you have?
Exactly. So the proceeds will go to the Children's Justice Center. Part of a component of our Summit County Children's Justice Center is that we do provide some sort of education in the community. And so this is sort of an offshoot. It's a collaboration with Park City Police Department, Summit County Sheriff's Office, Summit County Children's Justice Center, and United Against Bullying.
Yeah. So why did you come up with something like this? I mean, where'd that come from?
One of the things that I recognized was that children don't necessarily know, and this is through my investigations and experience, that children don't always know that they're being abused. And so the idea was born out of, okay, what sort of education programs can we provide at a very early age? Peace House comes into the classroom and does an excellent job with a Prevent Child Abuse Utah program. But I wanted something where the kids could learn more than just about keeping their body safe, and that they can also learn how to work collaboratively and cooperatively, identifying anti-bullying issues. Research has shown that children who are bullied are actually have a higher percentage of abuse victimization later on in life. And so these concepts sort of all interweave. So this is why I decided that I wanted to put together this program and have it be very tailored so that they learned a lot of different things. And it just wasn't like a coming in cold and talking about, okay, this is your body and this is how you keep it safe.
Yeah. So again, the dates are August 14th through the 18th, 9 to 11:30 a.m. Where do you meet?
We are so fortunate to be able to hold camp at the Temple Har Shalom off of 224. We have a beautiful classroom, a playground, a very private space to set up our bike course. So it's really a beautiful setting.
Great. And how do people register?
They can register either by contacting me on my office number, which is area code 435-615-3829, or they can go on the Summit County website click on the Children's Justice Center, and there's a camp description as well as a registration form.
Okay, they can get all the information there as well?
Yes.
Okay, anything else you want to mention?
No, it's a really amazing week. Last year, KSL came and did a special report on it, so if anybody wants to go back and look, last fall, there was a special segment on exactly what camp is about and just what. So if parents are curious about what to expect.
Great. Okay, Christina, Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Leslie.
Christina Sally is an investigator with the Summit County Attorney's Office. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.